The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
He's an attorney. He's military. He's smart. He's an author. His latest book is a great one, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. And it opens with the big kahuna on race and racism. You want that book, too. But, Kurt, welcome to back to the airwaves of Phoenix. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You betcha. I wanted to because in all the things that have been written and speculated and prognosticated since Friday, your piece on Town Hall, the GOP Senate damn well better confirm whoever POTUS appoints, is, I think, the single best one that cuts through all the nonsense. And
it is right that you praise me.
Well, I just wanted to, but I wanted the audience to hear you, too. Hear you out. I did a monologue earlier. I laid out the case. I think you would be in concurrence with it. The GOP can do this, so the GOP must. And all this, he said this back when on one side and the other guy on the other side. I had a guest who wrote, a listener who wrote me an email who said, the McCoy shot Hatfield because a Hatfield previously shot a McCoy, and the McCoy shot a Hatfield before that because the point is there's a constitutional mandate here, isn't there?
Well, look, we elected the president and the Senate to go get us judges. They can go get us judges. They need to go get us judges. It's in the Constitution. That's fine. I'm like you. I don't care that in 2016, you know, Senator Jones said the following. I don't care.
Right.
I want the judge.
Right.
You guys can do it. Yeah. So get it done.
Right. It's really that simple. There's
it's not hard.
Everyone in the eighth grade knows or learns. The president appoints and the Senate affirms or denies. So that having been said, all the other arguments are just that nonsense. President Trump's term isn't shortened because someone died.
Yeah, and my favorite new thing is the wishes of dead government employees. Trump.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm a living American citizen. I think my wish trumps hers. Why wouldn't it? Half of political theory now, or what passes for it, is designed for stupid people to try and convince stupider people to do stupid things. It's baffling to me.
We're led to believe that if Antonin Scalia had put in his will that his dying concern was should he die prematurely or in office, that he be replaced by William Barr, we're led to believe that the Democrats would say, oh, well, this is what Antonin Scalia's dying wish was.
Well, with all due respect to Nino Scalia and to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's pretty difficult for me to conceive of anything I care less about than what they think or want.
Right, right.
They're dead.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just, it's like the people going, well, you know, the poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty provides. Well, you know, I'm just a kid who grew up in the 70s.
Right.
And when the I'm Just a Bill guy came along, he said, I'm just a bill, and I'm reading the statue. It doesn't work like that.
Right. 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 It doesn't. It's a bit of a dereliction of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's duty. I don't want to speak ill, but the fact is,
I don't even know if she did it. I mean,
that's a fair point. We have no proof of this. Right. Right.
Yeah, she's gasping for her last breath. She grabs her granddaughter's hand, looks in her eyes, and she says, I wish the president and the Senate to forego their duty and wait until after the electors have counted the ballots and the House of Representatives have acknowledged that a new president has been installed.
Right. Right.
Now, okay, I'm thinking that's unlikely.
I don't even think she'd use the word installed. That's not the proper word. She's probably smarter than that.
I think at some point in the last couple months, she might have said, geez.
Yeah.
I hope I can keep cranking until there's a Democrat president.
Back.
Oh well.
Yeah. Right. I mean that's right. I mean she if she really wanted this, she had the choice to make this possible all the way November of 16. Right. She had this choice.
Yeah. That's enough. She could have. You know, at any time.
At age 83 and in ill enough health then, she could have made that decision then.
Well, and then the argument, and I hate arguing when people aren't paying me. I'm a lawyer. You have to pay me hundreds of dollars an hour to argue.
I am right now. The check is in the mail.
The Senate wouldn't have given her a vote. Well, that's right, because the Senate gets to do what it wants.
Right, right.
Because that's how it works. Look, the simple thing is they can install a new one, and they should. This is it. This is what we've worked for. And I don't feel because a sissy like Mitt Romney wants to lose like a gentleman is insufficient rationale for me to allow a bunch of people who want to take away my right to speak freely, worship as I see fit, and take my gun.
See, that's the point at the end of the day that the Mitt Romneys of the world don't understand. It's exactly this. If Mitch McConnell held hearings and approved Merrick Garland in, 2016, are we to believe for a nanosecond that Chuck Schumer would today be saying, well, because the Republicans did that then, we're going to, in kind, allow them to nominate someone now? Not bloody likely. This is what we've learned.
Well, first of all, even if he did say it, I wouldn't care. I don't care what Schumer says. It is of zero interest to me, much like the death wishes of, former justices of the Supreme Court or, frankly, anyone else. I don't care what dead Abraham Lincoln thinks right now. You know, if zombie Lincoln comes back from the grave, I'm at least going to be curious to find out where he stands because he's come back from the dead, and I'd like to follow up on that. But otherwise, it is of zero interest to me. The simple fact is, we sent them to do a job. They have the capacity to do a job. Ergo, do your job.
Do your job. And I this is where Mitch McConnell becomes impressive to me. You know, I mean, every other day of the week, I have to tell you, I just wish we had someone with a little more vim and vigor. But on these issues, I have zero complaint. I mean, am I right to be of that opinion?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Look, he drives me crazy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there is no more effective Senate majority leader.
Right.
He's working with 53. He's got Murkowski, you know. He's got the lady from the land of moose and maple syrup.
Collins,
and he's got that invertebrate sissy Mitt Romney,
yeah,
who never met a submission he didn't want to submit to. and he's got to deal with all these folks. Well, he's got Cory Gardner on board, and Cory's having a hard time. I got to give it to Martha McSally. She acts like a colonel.
Yep.
I'm a colonel, too. So
yep.
I appreciate
you know what the hit on her is here? You know what the local editorialists are hitting her with?
She's a terrible campaigner.
No. On the RBG thing, they're hitting her with having come out too early and saying there should be hearings. To which I say, RBG nullified that, or at least RBG supporters nullified that argument by portraying this death wish.
Well, if they, I'd like them to look through the ancient scrolls and find the proper time frame for which you're to come out and say various things. That's my other thing.
Yeah.
When people start telling me about rules that aren't rules.
Yeah.
It are just like things they want to do.
Yeah.
I saw McSally came out right away and said, "No, we're not playing any games." I'm like, that's probably good for one or two points.
Yeah.
That might be what
so
you need. A bunch of those sissy McCain weasels. Look, I'm from California. I shouldn't be talking bad about Arizona.
I feel like I have to all of a sudden defend Arizona Republicans over California Republicans.
Oh, my God. Okay. There are so many of those guys sitting around going, I like John McCain. He was wonderful.
They say it in California more than they say it here, Kurt. That's the thing. Your Republicans say it more than our Republicans do.
Hey, I live in Ted Lieu's district. I shouldn't be dissing anybody.
I know. That's fine.
But I think a bunch of the guys who were like, well, I'm just going to sit it out because I like John McCain because he had integrity. And, And I think they're going to go, but it is the Supreme Court, and it will take my guns and my freedom and my money and everything else. So I'm going to hold my guns.
Them's are the stakes. That's it.
Not do what Sidney McCain commands me and go out and
Them's are
but
the stakes.
For a pointer.
No,
they
Yeah, no, that's right. Those are the stakes. The Dems got it. They have gotten it for a long time. We are finally waking up to it. And your column was just so good on it. Let me plug your book one more time before my retainer with you runs out. Kurt Schlichter's latest, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. It's a great, great book. Kurt, thank you for the piece. Thanks for spending a little time with us. I really just wanted to thank you. It was a great, great piece.
It's fun.
Great contribution. We'll call you soon.
Now go and get that state, damn state for Trump.
We're efforting it. We're efforting it. We'll do it.
You think you're going to make it?
I'm not even close to worried.
Excellent.
Bye, Kurt.
Adios.
Take care. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. You know the real estate market is hot, especially if you're in the mode of selling. So if you're in the mood or thinking about or planning on selling your home, you want to go with the best home sales marketer. That's real estate agent James Wexler of JMG Real Estate. You don't want to leave money on the table. You want to work with the agent that has buyers lined up, ready to give you the highest possible offer for the sale of your home. He sells more homes, over $500,000, than any other agent in Phoenix and Scottsdale. I know James. I know people who have done business with James. They have the same opinion of him I do. He's just great. He'll guarantee to sell your home at market value, or he'll pay the difference. And he can also make you an upfront guaranteed offer within 24 hours of you reaching out to him if that is more convenient for you. Call the only agent I would call if I needed to sell my home. That's James Wexler, 480-386-0711, or visit him online at jameswexler.com. That's James Wexler, WEXLER.com. Got a bunch of calls earlier, wasn't able to get to because of the guests, asking me what is this business of Mark Kelly being able to be seated early and possibly having an even more consequential vote in the Senate than other Democrats who might be elected in November. And it's just a weirdness having to do with this being considered really a kind of special election, if you will, because it's the election we have to have for that seat based on John McCain's passing, where Martha McSally was appointed to serve out until the next election based on Arizona law at the appointment of the governor, which means in a special election, according to the attorneys I know and have read, and I guess what people are citing, means that he will be seated or can be seated as early as the end of November, rather than the typical seating in January. Okay. One of the things, you know, that is so interesting to me is the whining and wailing of the Democrats who talk about busting of norms, changing of norms and procedures. And it comes to me as rather precious and rich from a party that had no trouble this year, election year, trying not to stop a Supreme Court nominee from getting on the bench or to put a Supreme Court nominee on the bench, but to get rid of a president via means not having to do with an election through the impeachment process. How sensitive were they to the argument of wait for the election? They weren't. They said they have the constitutional right to engage in impeachment proceedings, and they certainly did. And we participated in those hearings. We thought they were ill-advised. We thought the case was shaky that they had at best, and we ultimately prevailed. But it didn't stop them from availing themselves of constitutional means. Now, I'll tell you what I think they're worried about as much as they are worried about shifting the balance of the court. I think they're worried about what Democrats on the Judiciary Committee will sound and look like in going after an Amy Barrett or a Barbara Lagoa. I think that the memories of what happened with Brett Kavanaugh, where they pulled out every stop they could and invented stops we'd never even considered and made them look so bad in it that they're worried about that. How long ago was the Brett Kavanaugh hearings when people said, okay, that's it, I'm never voting for a Democrat again? Bill, it's unfair of me to ask, but just perchance, in case it's a potentiality, do you have Lindsey Graham on Brett Kavanaugh? If you don't worry. Don't sweat it. We have plenty of other things I wanted to share around that. But, you know, you're going to have these Sheldon Whitehouses, these particularly nasty, frankly, nasty senators on the Judiciary Committee, grilling in a way. Dianne Feinstein has already shown what she will do to Amy Coney Barrett. Do you remember what she said when Amy Coney Barrett was up for the Seventh Circuit, where she sits right now? She accused her of her Catholic dogma living vividly within her. Catholic dogma. What and whence this anti-Catholicism in the Democratic Party all over again? I thought we ended that with the know-nothings. But no, Democrats are receding to 19th century type all over again. Remember Lindsey Graham? Yeah, remind us of Lindsey Graham. Go ahead, Bill.
That you raised a daughter who had the good character to pray for Dr. Ford. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well. And I intend to vote for you. And I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
I love it when he tells the Democrats, I think it's just right before that, God, you all want power. I hope you never get it. That was the one that sang to me the most. They do want power more than anything else, because how else do you do what I said in the monologue the Democrats use the courts for doing? How else do you get policies and rules that override what the majority votes for, whether they are in state propositions or whether it is constitutionally and duly signed congressional and executive legislation? When you look at what the left stands for, and this is why Biden will not release a potentiality list, a list of potential nominees. This is why he won't do it. When you look at the things they stand for when it comes to judicial philosophy, critical race theory, which you've heard a little bit about over the last 5 or 6 months, doesn't even begin to cover it. Oh, by the way, speaking of critical race theory, guess who changed their website? Not only the 1619 Project, I'll get to this more maybe later today or tomorrow, but the Black Lives Matter movement changed their website too without telling anyone. But in both cases, nothing to see here, folks. Remember that part about getting rid of the nuclear family? Guess what? It's not on their website anymore. Interesting that. All right, as we head out, let me put in a word for balance of nature, where I get energy, improved health, boosted immunity from powerful, robust, whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. I'm talking blueberries and pineapple and papaya and zucchini and spinach. Great, potent, healthy stuff in one daily dose, and it gives me tens of thousands of vital nutrients. You just take it once a day. Vegetarian capsules, easy to open and sprinkle on food and drink if you don't like swallowing them. Right now, Balance of Nature is keeping their free shipping promise and 35% off offer on any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Check them out at balanceofnature.com and use discount code balance. Well, welcome back. It is a delight to welcome to the show Professor Robert Kaufman from the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Professor Kaufman is the Robert and Catherine Dockson Professor of Public Policy, has a great CV. Someone I wanted to talk to as well to get his views of all things going forward with the new vacancy on the Supreme Court, given the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Professor Kaufman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let me try it this way. I mean, you're very experienced. You've been an attorney. You've got your law degree and, of course, a professor of political science, a doctorate in that. What was your first thought last Friday when you heard of this, what would you call a truly ground-shaking event?
Two things. I mourn the passing of Justice Ginsburg, who was not on my side of the philosophical spectrum.
Right.
She was, however, a very admirable, principled person. She was very fair-minded, had a long friendship with Justice Scalia, judicially independent, and had some personal connection, or at least an attenuated one. I had her husband, Martin, for tax at Georgetown Law, and he was a superb, open-minded professor.
Sure.
So I thought of that. And then I also thought of how this essentially throws a hand grenade into the presidential campaign with a lot of shrapnel flying in all directions, and how it turns out really is anybody's guess. It depends on how these various strands combined. First of all, it puts your state right in the center of this because most of the country doesn't understand that your Senate election between Senator McSally and Mark Kelly, that's a special election.
Right.
So if the polls hold and Mark Kelly wins, that would make it almost prohibitive for President Trump. So I think one of the variables that's going to have the Republicans trying to get a vote, if they can, prior to the election, is the unpredictability of the outcome in your state.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right analysis, and his immediate seating, of course, makes it even more delicate. You mentioned you've known the family a little bit. You were her husband's teacher, and you're a student of the Supreme Court. You know, I was just kind of thinking, as you were saying, with regard to her tenure on the Supreme Court, she comes from a school of legal philosophy that is not yours and not mine. But would you say, and is it accurate to say, it's a liberal school of jurisprudence that's still a click or two starboard, a click or two more to the center than what we have today in our law schools and what we see coming up through the Democratic Party and the left wing when it comes to their judicial appointments?
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
She's very consistent, committed to expanding equality, particularly for women. That was also the legacy of her pre-Supreme Court career. She's also very fair-minded. Let me give you an example. On the decision Roe v. Wade, where Justice Ginsburg was pro-choice, she had the integrity and honesty to say later on that even though she agreed with the decision, she thinks that in retrospect it was inappropriate for the Supreme Court to make it. It should have been left to the political process.
Right.
Then there is her friendship with Justice Scalia, and then her recent observations recorded in the National Review praising Brett Kavanaugh as being a gentleman and a very good colleague. And you're not going to find any of that. And to the extent that your question about today's philosophy of the Democratic Party, proof of this is that I just heard Senator Biden speak. He mentioned nothing about the Supreme Court.
Right.
He won't publish a list. And there's a reason for that. You don't have to be Socrates to figure it out. The type of candidates he's going to choose, either by his own volition, the gravitational pull of the Gang of Four, it's going to be way to the left, and Democrats have previewed what I think they were going to do anyway when Representative Kennedy from my home state of Massachusetts, proving why he lost, was dumb enough to say that they were going to pack the court. And I think that was on the agenda anyway.
Let me hold you right there. This was a short segment. Can I keep you one more segment? I want to pick up on that and some other stuff if you have the time.
Sure.
That would be great. We'll be right back with Robert Kaufman from the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have with us, continuing our interview, Professor Robert Kaufman. He is the professor of public policy at the Pepperdine School of Public Policy, where our good friend Pete Peterson is. Professor Kaufman, you were just talking about Joe Biden releasing his slate of prospective nominees, why he won't do so. And your point, well taken, was something I was mentioning on Friday, I think, is, boy, to satisfy his left wing, and really given the state of the liberal left judicial philosophy of the day, this is just not saleable in Peoria, so to speak, is it?
No, but I'd even go further.
Okay.
The idea of Senator Biden being the moderate is a myth. Remember, he was part of the despicable character assassination of Robert Bork,
yes,
where Senator Biden impugned his integrity, insinuating he resigned to pursue private practice for monetary gain. Everybody knew that Justice Bork had a wife suffering from cancer that proved to be terminal, and he was doing everything he could to give her the best treatment. Then there's his dishonorable role in the Clarence Thomas case. So if Biden is a centrist, it's only by the warped standards of today's Democratic Party. It bears no relation to the Harry Truman, JFK, Scoop Jackson tradition. And the party is even further to the left. And look at Vice President Harris's absolutely shameful behavior in the attempted character assassination of Justice Kavanaugh, where they couldn't even confirm that Ms. Blasey Ford had ever met Kavanaugh,
right,
much less that Kavanaugh was guilty. So if you expect the worst out of the Democrats on this, you have ample justification.
Yeah, I think that's a good corrective on the Joe Biden score front, and of course a good reminder about Kamala Harris and the innuendos she was planting during the Kavanaugh hearings. We would expect, Professor Kaufman, we would expect Democratic nominees of the past. You had mentioned the kind you might expect from a JFK, a Truman, or an FDR. I can think of their nominees. Let's see, Wizard White, Tom Clark, Justice Robert Jackson. Those kinds of nominees would today not be within the Democratic Party's mainstream of judicial thinking, would they? They would be considered almost beyond the pale conservative, the kind of nominees that the Democrats that you mentioned once appointed, yeah?
Well, one of the ironies about all this talk of Democrats being faithful to the Constitution is that they have a view of the Constitution as being a living document,
yeah,
and a view that the original understanding of what the provisions meant by those who ratified them shouldn't be binding on progressive judges. So it's really a paradox, to put it kindly. The types of judges that the Democrats will appoint would be a Justice Sotomayor on steroids.
Yeah.
And there's no indication otherwise. And Biden is playing rope-a-dope here, trying to conceal what he has actually committed. He's already said he's prejudged the entire process by saying he will nominate a black woman. There may be many capable black women, but this seems to be another act of pandering to the mentality of identity politics that has much of the country run by progressives in such a sorry state.
At a certain point, that kind of talk makes people queasy, doesn't it? I would think. Maybe not. Maybe given the times, maybe not. But it seems to me you drill down so specifically on the gender and racial prerequisites. At a certain point, Americans may start feeling a little bit queasy about such a thing. No? Maybe. Maybe not.
I think they should be very queasy.
It makes me queasy. It makes my skin crawl, I have to tell you. But,
queasy is not the word.
Yeah.
Whenever the diversity word means quotas inimical to merit. Now, how it turns out, let me quote my heroes, the Beach Boys. wouldn't it be nice if we were right? And God only knows what's going to happen in the short term. And I think one of the things that President Trump has done courageously that people haven't given enough attention to are the amicus briefs that his Justice Department has filed against the pernicious quota at Harvard, Yale, and other elite institutions that basically penalize merit, penalize Asians, a revival of the Jewish quota, to the detriment of merit and equality of opportunity. What they want is equality of result measured in biological standards. The paradigmatic example of that, of course, is Elizabeth Warren, dubbed Pocahontas, who, honestly, had she not fraudulently claimed Native American ancestry, would not be working at the lunch counter at Harvard, much less as a tenured professor. And I think this is something where conservatives have a much better case than they've made. And to be fair, it's very hard to make it because the media has abandoned any pretense, with a few exceptions, of any type of repertorial objectivity.
You make a really good point. I've run through Elizabeth Warren's CV before, and I know Harvard Law School. That is not a CV that usually Harvard Law School faculty get hired for, right? Professor
well,
Kaufman.
Not I, a chance.
Yeah.
But Barack Obama was the first editor of Harvard Law School.
No, that's right.
In the history of Harvard Law School, he didn't have to write on and he didn't publish an article during his tenure. That's never happened.
That's never happened.
The idea of merit vanished into the ether for identity politics. And this is just sort of the ghost of Christmas future of what's to come. If Biden and the Gang of Four end up in power in January 2021.
Nicely put, Professor Kaufman. Great to have you. I hope we can do it again. I love the invocation of the Beach Boys. How did that song end? You know, it seems the more we talk about it, it only makes it worse to live without it, right?
it's not an optimistic ending.
I know. I know.
I'd like to rewrite the ending with a sort of It's a Wonderful Life ending with Jimmy Stewart coming back and all turning well. It's great to talk to you.
You too, Professor. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your thoughts. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for spending some of your Monday with us. Love that you do. Love you give us the credibility to be a part of your drive, be a part of your living room, your bedroom, wherever you listen to us. Means a ton to us. Donald Trump taped a speech today that I believe will be delivered to the United Nations tomorrow, their opening session. And we'll go through it a little bit. These speeches from Republicans tend to be excellent speeches that drives the editorialists crazy. I have in mind a special one that Ronald Reagan gave in 1985, where he just took off after the Soviet Union, and the editorialists hated it. And guess what? The world loved it. I'll give you, he said, just as we all know what peace is, we certainly know what peace is not. Peace based on repression cannot be true peace and is secure only when individuals are free to direct their own governments. Peace based on partition cannot be true peace. Put simply, nothing can justify the continuing and permanent division of the European continent. Walls of partition and distress must give way to greater communication for an open world. Peace based on mutual fear cannot be true peace. His point, he was going, and he had more to say in that tricolon, was that just because you have relations with another country that may have thawed a bit, it's not true peace so long as they are repressing their people in the most tyrannous of ways. Memo to China. Let's repackage that speech and take a letter, Maria. Until tomorrow, I'm Seth Leibson. God bless you, and class dismissed.